Welcome back to another episode of Leap into Wellness. My name is Anya Schooler. This podcast is meant to bring health and wellness information to the staff and teachers at LeGrand School District. And this week, we have a very special guest on the podcast. I am speaking with Dr. Kelly McNeil.
Hello.
Dr. McNeil, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Kelly is an amazing professor at EOU. She has a PhD from Oregon State University in health promotion, and she teaches behavior change theory, community health, program planning, a lot of really cool classes in the Health and Human Performance Department at EOU. Today, we are going to be talking about a subject that Kelly knows a lot about, which is behavior change theory. I love this topic. I've learned so much from Kelly's classes, and it's just really useful, applicable information that I think is really important for us to share with you. So, jumping into the topic, I just want to start out with a definition of behavior change theory. Like, what is it? What does it study? What is it looking at? And like, why is it something that we should be considering?
Yeah, well, I think a really good way to think about it is, do you have a behavior that you want to change? And most people do. And I think you are maybe lying if you say that you don't have anything that you want to change. We all could like maybe get a little bit more sleep or eat a little bit better or get a little bit more physical activity.
Right. Something that I was talking to Kelly about before we started recording is that on this podcast, basically all we're doing is throwing information at you. And in reality, you know that there's more to behavior change than just receiving information. That's why I'm really excited to talk about behavior change theory. And I think that that's kind of a big catalyst for why a lot of people did research on it.
Yeah, you said it perfectly, Anya. I mean, the big thing is that knowledge does not change behavior.
Kelly says that all the time in her classes.
But you need knowledge in order to change behavior. So you need to know that like smoking is bad for you and physical activity is good for you. So you've got a great start with all the information that you're providing. But then the next step is, well, how do we actually integrate that into a change for ourselves? And what behavior change theories are is there's over 250 theories out there that try to help us understand the phenomenon of change. Like if it was just as easy as saying, just change, why don't you just do it? I mean, come on, like you can get more sleep, just do it. But there's so many other factors. And there's just this big holistic kind of approach to it that we really need to think about. So when we're changing the behaviors, it's not just our motivation or our willpower or our willingness to change. There's also environmental factors. There's also all these other different things. And so behavior change theories try to help us understand that phenomenon on like how we can help other people like look at those different aspects of change and maybe address them in their lives. So from changing your environment, from social to physical, to setting goals, to all sorts of different things, it kind of puts a kind of framework together that helps us move forward in any kind of change that we want to.
I really like the way you put it. Behavior change is so complex, and there are so many factors that go into it. And behavior change theories basically provide like a theoretical framework to give you some mental scaffolding to understand all those complex factors. So in Kelly's class, behavior change theory, something that I really took away from it and was really beneficial to me, one of the assignments was that we took behavior change theories and applied them to ourselves. And we had to choose a behavior that we wanted to change using all of the constructs and concepts of behavior change theories. The behavior that I implemented my first term at EOU, I still do to this day.
That's awesome.
I implemented a sleep hygiene routine.
Right.
That I still use.
Yeah.
And so I was able to experience firsthand how powerful those are. So I know this is a short time and we don't have time to go into a ton of detail, but from all the behavior change theories that you teach, what do you think are a few applicable concepts from them that you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah. So there's lots of different theories out there. There's theories called stages of change or stage theories. There's one called value expectancy theories. There's these different categories of theories. And a lot of these different theories are really well suited for different behaviors. And they're all through like evidence-based practices and research and trying them out with these different behaviors and then putting all these constructs together and maybe after years adding another construct. And so we keep talking about constructs, but basically what constructs are for the listeners is it is the steps that we use. It's the things that we do in order to help change the behavior. They're the components of the theory that make it so it's useful for people and so that we can recognize like how to address that and help people out. So like say there's consciousness raising, which is part of the transtheoretical model. What it does is it's like we need to provide people with information. And so like a stage theory is really cool because it's like it identifies where you are in the change. And then it provides very specific strategies and things for you to do to order to move up into the next stage. Right. And those are cool because they help people that are like thinking about change or maybe not thinking about change. Well, if you're not thinking about it, let's get you to think about it. Then once you're thinking about it, okay, here's some specific things that we can do in order to help somebody start making a plan for it. And then after they make the plan, you're like, okay, great. We're moving along. We're doing so great here. Like now I'm going to use these other strategies. These are more behavior strategies versus cognitive strategies. And now I'm going to have you like put it into action. And then you might lapse and you might relapse. But the thing is that you're on this journey through these stages and that you hopefully you will come with the out or you'll eventually meet the outcome that you're hoping for.
What I love about the stages of change model and finding where you are in the stages of change is it allows you to have a lot more grace with yourself than if you are just going off of the basis, change should be necessary if I just had enough willpower. If we have any message that we convey through this episode today, I hope that it's that. There's so much more that goes into behavior change than just willpower and just information. Do you want to talk a little bit about how you've applied behavior changes to like your avalanche work and like go ASAP and like to just give people a little bit more of a concrete example?
Yeah. So behavior change theory can also be applied to community programs. So one of the programs that I developed when I first moved to LeGrand was a program called Get Outside After School Activity Program called Go ASAP. And I developed Go ASAP on the social cognitive theory and the self-determination theory and the self-efficacy theory. So I used three of my like favorite theories. And I took those theories and I grabbed the constructs that I thought were really helpful. So self-efficacy theory has a construct in it called mastery experience. And mastery experience is like helping people be successful within that behavior. And so one of the things you want to do is like break it down into small steps, provide positive feedback, like, and then they can build on their past successes. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to like introduce the students to rock climbing. So first we played with, we like tied knots and then we put on harnesses and then we went indoor climbing. And then by the end I had, you know, 25 middle school kids outside rock climbing and belaying each other. And it was just an absolutely wonderful experience. Yeah. And to watch their belief and their ability to do this behavior like skyrocket was incredible. Yeah. And then they went from being the self-determination theories, like going from being extrinsically motivated to intrinsically motivated. So extrinsically motivated is like, hey, Kelly gave me a sweatshirt. It was so cool. To extrinsically motivated being like, I did this. This is the best feeling I've ever had. This was so much fun. I made it to the top and you're like on that high. So then you want to do it again.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like your goal for people who want to be able to successfully implement any sort of behavior change is to find that intrinsic motivation. That's a really cool pinnacle to be working towards. In Kelly's classes, I feel like this professors often say this. They're like, if I bump into you on the street, then there's one thing that I want you to remember. She would always be like, I'm going to see you 10 years from now and be like, what's the definition of self-efficacy? She mentioned self-efficacy. And this is a really, really powerful. If you look up behavior change theories and you read a little bit about them, you'll see that word over and over again. And Kelly mentioned it. It's your belief in your ability to successfully do something. And something that she mentioned that I just really want to highlight is you want to set yourself up to build your self-efficacy. Knowing where you are in your behavior change and knowing what you can realistically accomplish is super important for being able to create meaningful change. Because if you set yourself a goal that's completely unrealistic and you're not able to meet it, that's going to have a huge detrimental effect on your self-efficacy.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I mean, self-efficacy has a number of different constructs, right? And so it's not just you doing the behavior. It's also verbal persuasion. So getting positive feedback, and like positive feedback can help, negative feedback can make you not want to do it. Vicarious experience, which means that you, somebody else that you admire, like a model or a role model of some description, is also able to do the change or perform the behavior. Mm-hmm. So like a coach, a positive coach, like we can have really big impacts on kids by the way that we like verbally, like either give them positive or negative feedback. And then how we like watching you perform this behavior or be successful. So like if you are, you know, trying to lose weight and your friend that's the same age and the same demographic and was able to do it and you weren't, like this can help motivate you, like, oh, my friend, she was able to do it. And I think I can do it too now that I've seen her do it. And then just like the physical and emotional like responses that you get also. So like I went for a run this morning and I feel really good and it made me feel better. That's going to motivate me more the next day versus like I went to the gym and lifted so hard. I'm so sore. I never want to go back again. Right. So there's these different things that we want to do within that theory to increase that self-efficacy. So yeah. And you also hit on as far as goals, right? So not having them unrealistic, but also having them very specific and measurable. So don't just say, I'm going to eat better. Like, I don't know what that means. What does I'm going to eat better mean? Like, I need to say, I'm going to eat breakfast 5 times this week. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to have a salad with dinner 3 nights this week. And then by the end of the week, you say, did I meet my goal or not? Okay, what's next? But I'm just going to eat healthy. Okay. Yeah. Maybe next week.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really know what that means.
Right. So. And then after you have that goal, identifying where you are in relation to being able to start that goal. So like without those stages of change, recognizing, am I in the planning stage? Am I just thinking about this? Because planning is important. Or am I at the point where I'm going to go to the grocery store today and start implementing this goal? We've talked about elements of several different behavior change theories. As we wrap up, do you have kind of a key takeaway that you want people to leave this episode with?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I hear from people, especially when I'm working with people to help them change the behavior, is just like, why is this so hard? I should just be able to do this. And it's just, I just wish that people could give themselves a little bit more grace and break it down a little bit more and celebrate these small successes. And so, yeah, if you don't do it, it doesn't mean you're a complete failure this week. It just means that you can get back on track. And it's not just about the willpower. Like, it's about telling your friends, hey, I'm trying to do this. Can you help me? And if they say no, then maybe go find someone else that can help you. Changing your environment. Take out the ice cream out of the freezer if you don't want to have it at night. Like, it's not just about, it's changing so many things. It's not just about changing your willingness, because you wouldn't even be wanting to do it if you didn't want to. Right. But that doesn't, like, motivation is not a trait, it's a state. So you can be completely motivated now and not over here. Yeah. And so it's just really important to be like, give yourself some grace, celebrate your small successes, and then look at a larger picture. And why is it hard to do this behavior? Or why is it easier to do this behavior in these different environments? And then try to set that up for yourself.
This has been super, super interesting. If you have specific questions or things that you heard about today and you want to learn more about behavior change theory, definitely send me an email. My email is in the notifications that Scott sends out whenever we release a new podcast episode. If you have other questions relating to any health or wellness topic, definitely send an email as well. And just a final plug, we still have open spots for our teacher wellness testing. So if you're interested in coming into the lab and doing that wellness testing, email me or Kyle and one of us will get that set up for you. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today, Kelly.
Of course. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.